I thank all who have come out this evening to hear another lesson from the Word of God. And as always, I'm a huge fan of the Word of God. I don't believe there's nothing else like it. That it is the answer to our most pressing needs. Everything that we encounter in our lives, the Word of God can guide us and instruct us in that area. It's the single most important thing in our lives. I apologize to you for not getting with Angela soon enough to get our title of our lesson and our scripture in the bulletin, but we have it here, so you'll get it anyway. If you would turn with me to Matthew's chapter 19, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 16. Matthew chapter 19, begin reading at verse number 16. The Bible says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Tonight, if you would study with me from this topic, Why calleth me good? Why calleth me good? This account also can be found in Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. Also Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 30. You know, there has not been, nor is there any relationship upon this earth that is greater than or equal to the relationship that we have with God. And even though the Apostle Paul said in his letter to the Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Even with that command to husbands to love our wives to that degree, still, that does not compare or supersede our relationship with God. My relationship with my wife, however good it may be, and it is good, still cannot get me into heaven. The only relationship that gives me an entrance into heaven is my relationship with God. And it has to be a right one. So in this story, the rich young ruler asks the question to Christ. He said, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And that question caused a response from our Savior. He said, "Why callest thou me good?" So that's what we want to talk about tonight. Why calleth me good? From this question by the rich young ruler and the response that we got from Christ, there are at least two things that I want to share with you tonight that I saw in this question and the response that Jesus made to the question, that I think it would be advantageous to us to discuss this evening concerning that statement. You know, when we have the opportunity to go to Christ to ask of him anything, for whatever reason it is, or whatever it is a divine privilege in and of itself, just to have the opportunity to approach our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, just to ask him a question. So when you go to Christ, you had better check yourself, because you just can't come to him just any kind of old way. You must remember that you are not talking to your old pal. You are not talking to an associate. You are not even talking to your mama or your daddy. But you are talking to the sovereign of the universe. You are talking to the Almighty God. So when this rich young ruler came to Christ to ask of him this question, he said, "Good master." You know, that word master means a teacher. The word good means some kind of benefit. So when I looked into this conversation between the rich young ruler and our Savior Jesus Christ, and the way that he asked this question, and the attitude that he was displaying in the question that he asked, I saw something very interesting. He said, "Good master." In other words, he approached our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, from a standpoint that he saw someone who had been known throughout the region there as one who teaches and is a good teacher. And so he approached him and he said, "Good master." But we got to know who we're talking to when we talk to Christ and when we talk to God. Yes, Christ is a good teacher. Yes, you can benefit from Christ. But this rich young ruler came to Christ and he said, "Good master." And I don't believe from the way that he was approaching Christ that he really knew and he really understood the magnitude of the person that he was talking to. Because when you look on down through the conversation that they was having, you can see that he had within himself this preconceived notion of who he was, and that he was just trying to confirm who he was through Jesus. He was asking, "Good master." He said, "Good master, What is it that I can do to have eternal life? You see, Christ is just not a good teacher. This is the man who we seen in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 26, who walked on water. This is also the man who we seen in John 11 and verse 43, who raised Lazarus up out of the grave by just saying, "Get up, Lazarus." This is the man who took a few slices of bread and a couple of pieces of fish and fed 5,000 men and their families over there in Mark chapter 6. This is a man who raised Jairus' daughter over there in Mark chapter 5. This is a man who gave sight to blind Bartimaeus over there in Mark chapter 10. Jesus put the ear back on the side of Malchus' head after Peter cut it off. Jesus, this is the man who died upon the cross for your sins and for my sins. So when we talk about Jesus and we talk about going to Jesus and approaching Jesus in the sense of asking him something, we got to realize just who it is that we're talking to, and we just can't be so cavalier when we come to him and just ask in a cavalier way, "Good master, what do I need to do?" Because he's more than just a good teacher. He is our salvation. So he came to Jesus and he asked, "Good master, what is it that I need to do?" Almost as to put his life before Jesus as to say, "I already know what my life is. I already know that I'm good enough. But I just want to hear you say it. I just want to hear you validate what I already know." So he said to Jesus, "What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And Jesus went on to say, "Don't murder. Do not commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And love thy neighbor as thyself." And you can almost just see the glee that came over his face as to say, "I told you so. This is what I've been doing all my life from my youth up. So what lack I now? I've been doing all of that." You see, he already thought that he was good enough. But let me tell you something this evening, church. Good enough is never good enough. Because if it had been good enough, it would have been good enough if Christ had never left heaven and left us down here to fend for ourselves. That would have been good enough for us. But God is not a good enough God, so he knew it was not good enough that we try and fend on ourselves. So he gave us his very best in sending his only begotten son from a perfect heaven down to this sin-fested earth to die for our sin. Because good enough is not good enough. Because if we die for our sins, we're doomed. We can't pay for our sins and then have a life afterward. Because payment for our sins from us is death in hell. So good enough is never good enough for God. So when you go to talk to God, get good enough out your mind, because it's not good enough. Our sins were far too great for us to die for them ourselves. So God sent his only begotten son to die on our behalf. Jesus Christ can heal all of our sin problems. So don't go talking about good enough, because you and I are not good enough. We need Jesus. So he said, if thou would be perfect, sell what you have, give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But he hanged his head and he walked away sorrowful because he had great possessions. You see, that's the problem with us in this day and time. When we get a little stuff, we get a few things, we get a few dollars in the bank, we get a title above our name, we get an office at our job, we get to drive a nice car, or live in a nice house. And then we get beside ourselves. We think all of this is the result of something that we have done. We think we don't need nobody because we're so successful ourselves that I can make my own mark in life. But church, we need Jesus. We need Jesus all the time. And this rich young ruler, when he came to Jesus the way he came to, he did not understand exactly the question that he was asking Jesus. And certainly, he didn't understand the answer that Christ gave to him. We got to always understand that there is nothing that we have upon this earth, nothing that we have in our possessions is all of our own making. If God has blessed us with that, then we need to be thankful. But with that being said, that brings me to my next point. He said, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? God is a good God. He always has our best interest in his hand. For he said through the inspired writer in 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse number 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. God wants all of us to be saved. God knows all about all of us. He knows everything that we're dealing with. He knows everything that we're going through. He knows how to fix it. He knows what we need to be able to handle those things. In other words, God knows our weaknesses and where we need to improve in our relationship with him. So when we go back to this rich young ruler and we look at the question that he asked Jesus, he said, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? You see, God knew all about this young ruler before he even came on the scene. He knew all about this encounter that they would have before there even ever was a rich young ruler. So when he came to Jesus and asked him this question, and Jesus gave him the answer, after he's saying that I've done all these things from my youth up, what lack I now? You see, the problem that we have is that we miss or misunderstand the blessing that God blesses us with each and every day. We somehow, for some reason, think that when God blesses us, that he blesses us, that that we can drive the fine car, that we can have the yacht out there on the ocean, that we can live in the big houses with 8 rooms and 6 bathrooms, that we can have all the luxury things, that we can do all these things. But let me just say something to you this evening, church. Sometimes those blessings that God bless us with, when we misuse those blessings, they can turn out to be our curse. And with this rich young ruler here, God had blessed him to be rich. Had blessed him to be rich. And he wanted to get to heaven. Because he asked Jesus, what did he have to do in order to obtain eternal life? He wanted to live eternally in heaven. But you know, the only way we're going to live in heaven is that our life here would be in accordance to the will of God while we live on this side of eternity. So when the question was asked, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? God had already given him the answer in that he had blessed him to be rich. See, sometimes we fail to look at our blessings. We just think that God has favored us so. You know, you hear people holler, I'm blessed and highly favored. We think we're so favored by God that God looked upon us and say, Brother Stone, you've been so wonderful. I'm just going to bless you with all this stuff here. I'm just going to give you all this stuff. But we got to look at our blessings sometimes. We got to understand why God blesses us with what he blesses us with. Because with the blessings that God gives us also comes a responsibility with those blessings. Those blessings now are not given to us just for us to go out and just eat, drink, and be merry and just have this old grand old station of a time. But these blessings are given to us with the responsibility placed upon us that we are going to use those blessings in the right way, the way God wants us to use those blessings. And so he blessed this rich young ruler to be rich. And this is where I get kind of good. You know, when we think about our blessings, if we really look at our blessings, when God blessed us, just say, take the rich young ruler. God blessed him to be rich. And the rich young ruler wanted to live in heaven. So he asked, what did he need to do in order to live in heaven? Well, if you look at your blessings, sometimes our blessings will answer the question for us. The rich young ruler was blessed to be rich. But in that blessing, the blessing that God had given him was telling him something, was showing him that you got some problems over here that can hinder you from living eternally in heaven. You see, he said that I have kept all these things from my youth up. Well, when God said to him, if he truly had kept all those things from his youth up, when Christ said to him, sell all that you have, give it to the poor, come follow me, and I shall have riches in heaven. If he really and truly had done those things that he said he had been doing from his youth up, he wouldn't have had no problem doing that. But you see, the richness that he had been given exposed the weaknesses that he had in his faith with God. And you see, that's the way it is with us. When God blessed us with something, we take those blessings and we go and we pour them all upon ourselves, not realizing that maybe, just maybe, I'm just saying now, listen, just maybe those blessings that God has poured upon us, he's trying to tell us something, that there are some weaknesses somewhere in our relationship to him that we need to focus upon, because when we get to that point where it's time for us to make that transition from heaven, from earth to either heaven or from earth to either hell, we might have a little trouble because we have misused those blessings. Take, for instance, over there in Revelation chapter 3, I believe verse 17, the church of Laodicea, it said, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with good and have need of nothing. Need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You see, this was a church that had some trouble. And I think that they had a tornado or some strong wind come through and to tear that building down. And the people in the community had come to these people and offered them help to rebuild that building that they had lost. And they so full of pride, they told the people, we don't need your help. We're rich. We're increased in good. We don't have need of nothing. We don't need your help. But listen to what God said to them. They are poor, wretched, miserable, blind. All these things. You see, the blessings that they had received was there to reveal unto them the weaknesses that they had in their relationship with God. And how many times we have had a little success in our lives, have gotten this good promotion, and it started to show, you know, we start to dress nicer. We go out and we drive a finer car. We move into a upper neighborhood. And then when we come to worship service, we drop $10 in the collection plate. You see, my point is that we're missing why God blessed us. And God blesses us in a way that he wants us to see our blessings and let our blessings reveal unto us the weaknesses that we have in our relationship with God. This rich young ruler, he wanted to get to heaven, but he was hanging on to those riches. So he really didn't love his neighbor as himself because he wanted to keep all this stuff for himself. If he loved his neighbor, he would be willing to share it with his neighbor. If he loved God like he said he loved God, he would have been willing to be obedient to the command that Christ had asked him to perform. So when we receive our blessings, no matter how great or how small, we need to look at that blessing and then relate those blessings to our life and our relationship with God. Because God may be trying to tell us something. That you're weak in this area. You see, if you want to learn how to be a good giver, or if God wants to teach you how to be a good giver, it's easy to learn how to be a good giver when you got something to give. You can learn. You can teach yourself. You may start out a little stingy, but you can teach yourself to be a good giver because you can have something to give. But if you don't have anything to give, you know, it's hard. You know how we are. Well, my light bill is due next week. The rent is due. I better not put nothing in today. But when we use our blessings the way God has given us to use them, and when we understand what our relationship to God ought to be, then we can realize that this stuff isn't just for me. God didn't give me this but just for me to house it all for myself, to do all the things that I want to do and never help nobody. Remember what James said? James said, you see a brother naked and destitute of food and you just go, oh, well, I know your pain. And you do nothing to help him. What good have you done? What have you done with the blessings that God has given you? Our blessings can sometimes turn into our curse. But when we understand who God is, that's why we started out with the first part of this question by saying when we go to God, we need to recognize and understand just who it is that we are talking to. Because we are not just talking to just any old body. We are talking to someone who already knows everything there is to know about us. We cannot fool at all. And you see, the rich young ruler said, I kept all these things from my youth up. And when we look at it, we say, that's a pretty good fella. You know, he's kept all those commandments. He's done all those things. Well, that's the outer surface. We can show each other something on the outside. But God can look right straight through us and see exactly what's on the inside of us. And that's how God operates. He looks on the inside of man and not at the outward appearance. And so from the outer side, it looked like this young ruler was doing exactly what he needed to do. But all the while, God knew that his heart wasn't right. His attitude wasn't right. His faithfulness wasn't good enough. And so he said, if I give him these riches, maybe he can see and understand how to get all these things straightened out so that he can have this life in heaven. Are we going to learn from this rich young ruler? I don't know any of us in here. Maybe some of you may be rich. But how are you using your blessings? What are you doing to show God that you are truly trying to be faithful unto him? You see, all this stuff that we accumulate in this lifetime, as Brother Hall always say, you ain't ever seen no U-Haul hitched up to the hearse. And who's this stuff going to be then? So why don't we just be faithful unto God, and when God blesses us with something, share those blessings. You see, it's nothing wrong with being rich. The money didn't do anything wrong for these people. The people in Laodicea and the rich young ruler, the money didn't do anything wrong for them. The money just exposed them as to what their weaknesses are. And by being exposed, that gives us the opportunity to make corrections in our life. We need to be exposed. Because had this rich man, this rich young ruler, never have been given the opportunity to be rich, he probably never would have recognized those weaknesses that he had. Let me give you an example. There may be some of you out there this evening that's prejudiced. And you say, I'm not prejudiced. I treat everybody nice. I treat everybody fine. I treat everybody the same. But let something happen of a racial standpoint in your life or something. Let something happen like that and listen to the tone of your voice when you talk about that situation. Listen to your thinking when you think about what has happened. Are you talking about it in a non-racist way? Or are you talking about it in a way that could be thought of as racist statements? See, we walk this close borderline. And if we don't face the facts and face reality and stick with the Word of God and let the Word of God teach us how not to be these things, our natural selves are going to be that, just that way. Because that's what this world teaches us. That's what this world has to offer us. So our blessings can reveal unto us who we are. Because if we didn't have some of the stuff that God allows us to have, maybe we'll never even realize the kind of person that we really are. Why calleth me good? Why are you going to call Jesus good if you are not willing to be all in 100% with what he teaches in his word. Because if we're not, God knows that you're not. And not all the way. As we said before, good enough is not good enough for God. We got to be all in or we're all out. So, what's your situation tonight? Have you looked within your own self? Have you looked at your blessings? Or have you looked at how you react to other people? Have you searched your thoughts before? Have you really searched your thoughts? You know, we can hide them from each other, but we know exactly how we think about things. Have you really searched your thoughts and said, why do I feel this way about it? And tried to understand, is this the correct way to feel about it, or I'm being some kind of bias toward my thinking? You know, I often challenge myself, and it's asking myself, are you really honest with what you said or what you did or the way you were thinking? And if not, you need to make some changes. You need to get better. So what's your situation tonight? Are there changes in your life that you need to make? I know there's always changes in my life. I'm constantly making changes in my life because I'm constantly finding out my weak areas. And when I find my weak areas, I want to improve them. Because I want to hear God say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I want to live in heaven. And if you want to live in heaven, you will search your mind, search your thoughts, search your motives, and see if you are doing what God would have for you to do, the best that you can. So this evening, God has given us this grand opportunity. That if there is something going on in our lives that need fixing, that need correction, or whatever the situation may be, God has granted us this opportunity to make those changes. Or if you are here tonight and you are not a child of God, the first change you need to make is to make that transition from being one outside of God to one who have come inside. And you do that by hearing and believing his word, by repenting of your sin, by confessing Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, and then being willing to go down into that watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sin, that your sins may be washed away. And then as Revelation 2:10 states, to strive and live faithfully until you breathe your last breath of life. If you are subject to the invitation tonight, as we stand and sing the invitation song, we ask you to make those corrections in your life.